Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week?
Great, Jim. How are you? Spring has sprung, right? We could say it. Spring has sprung. It's still a little, it's a wee bit nippy still here in the Northeast, day to day for the most part, but you get your occasional wee bit warmer day. But spring has sprung, you know, spring practice, preseason practice, whatever you're going to go. College football OTAs, because that's kind of what it is now. Whatever it is, tis the season, Jimmy.
It is. It's official because we've got spring practice started. We have James Franklin's press conference prior to the spring practice beginning. We had pro day. And as far as weather, I think at least this weekend, Andy, we're going to get a little bit of warm weather. So that'll be nice also. I mentioned James Franklin having a press conference. These are always great because it provides us some news. And I think for you and I, one of our favorite sports is to analyze a James Franklin press conference, Andy.
Read the tea leaves. Like, you know, we're going to take the Nesty plunge. If you go back to the 70s and you're a little bit younger, look it up on YouTube. Great commercials.
Well, I'll tell you what, Andy, I think someone at some point should write a guide for how to listen to a James Franklin press conference. I'll give you just real quickly a couple rules that I have when listening to James Franklin's press conference. Okay, yeah. You ready for these? First off, if you have someone from the media ask about a specific player, typically this is someone from his hometown, okay, or it's often the case. This player could be fifth-year, fourth-string right guard. And by the time James Franklin is done answering the question, you'll think that player's going to be an All-American, okay? Said writer will then write that article, quoting James Franklin. Just know that's the way it works. I don't blame James for doing that. These are his players. So be it. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, if someone were to ask either an innocuous question or about a specific player, and James Franklin brings up a different player, okay, unsolicited, he says, hey, this player, John Smith, blah, 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 playing really well, that you have to pay attention to. If James brings up the player's name without being prompted, pay attention. Those are my rules when listening to James Franklin, Andy.
Yeah, I go for a little more tea leaves. I look for I've got some. It's not easy. Believe me, he does not make it easy because he's really good at, you know, sort of, he's pretty transparent, like for the most part. You might not like it as a fan, what the answer is, but for the most part, he's pretty transparent. To gather information, you have to know, like, you have to look at the question and then say what he's answered. A great example. Can I go ahead, Jimmy? Do you mind?
Yep, go ahead.
The linebacker position, right? This is clear to me. Asked about the linebackers and King leaving, blah, blah. He goes in terms of player-wise. So he answered it. He answered like six different things in the one question. I say six, but I'm joking. He started listing a litany of linebacker names. Basically, he's like Tony Rojas and Dom DeLuca. They're the linebackers. That, without him saying it, that's what he said, right? Keon Wiley, they don't know enough after his injury. He said about Tamir Robinson, he needs to take a step forward. We're looking forward to him taking the next step. That means if they see a little bit and he takes a step, he might play. Otherwise, he's going to be right where he's at. And then he listed the entire roster. So in other words, we know who their starting and their key linebackers are going to be. I found it interesting he talked about the 4-2-5. basically saying that, that they were going back to his Vanderbilt days. Okay, maybe in his mind they were a base 4-3 somehow the last 2 years, but they've been playing, oh, about 90% 4-2-5 as games have evolved over the last 2 years. They've been playing a ton of it. So now he's basically saying it out loud as we're a 4-2-5. But the linebacker position was a clear, like, very good James Franklin answer. They asked about a guy who had left, what they were going to do at Mike linebacker. And he's basically like, well, we're kind of putting that on the shelf because Rojas and DeLuca are linebackers. Wiley, we got to find out about his injury. We don't know. See what that looks like. Robinson needs to take a step. If he takes a step, great. If not, Dom DeLuca and Tony Rojas are linebackers.
Well, and they, you know, a couple things. First of all, I just want to mention again, we all, for so many years, got conditioned to Joe Paterno and his answers, okay? So if you had, you know, Todd Blackledge, great quarterback, coming back, and they ask him about Todd Blackledge, Joe would say, oh, don't forget the backup quarterback. It's going to be a competition. No, it's not. But that's how Joe Paterno worked. James won't do that, okay? Now, you brought up the question about the linebacker. The first question was about Kobe King leaving. Essentially, how do you replace him? Who do you replace him with? And James, again, part of the politically correct answer, found a way to name every single linebacker on the roster.
Correct. That's
and
his,
then
that's his tell, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, that's the tell. You know, if everybody's great, nobody's great, okay? You know, obviously he named who the two starters were and eventually gets to the 4-4-2-5, meaning only two linebackers. Typically, that would be their base, and you'll see either you'll see a third defensive back. And you know what? If he were to directly answer the question, he would have said, well, good question, but we won't necessarily be replacing him
right,
linebacker for linebacker, because that's not where the talent is. The talent is among our DBs, and we'll have a fifth DB in there. So, and it was interesting, and I will give credit to the media, and sometimes I'm critical of the media and the kind of questions they ask, Andy.
No!
Yeah, sometimes I will do that, but I'm going to do this, and I'll be complimentary a little bit later. Somebody asked the question about the fifth defensive back, that, and I think he worded it the third safety, and what traits, what are you looking for in that player? Which I thought was a great follow-up question to this. And we actually, and this is where we got, I think, a very good answer. This was James Franklin at his best when he explained, you know what, it's not necessarily a safety. It could also be a third cornerback we use. We're looking for talent. So where is that talent? And that will determine who that fifth DB will be, Andy.
He also said, hey, if you have three stud linebackers and they got to be on the field, we're going
to be on the field.
We're going to play three linebackers, right? Like he said, it could have been, could be three corners. It could be three safeties. It, this is where Jim will come in. Jim will have a base 4-2-5 and there'll be somebody in that slot. And then there will be, you know, there will be offshoots off of it. It could be a three corner set, you know, in a nick, more of a nickel package, right? Like the fifth will be a third corner, more in a nickel package. It could be a third linebacker, right? Because on first down generally or on second down, because a third linebacker has emerged as a stud, right? 4-2-5 is a base. It's going to be a safety because their safeties, they have a deep safety room, right? And they already have somebody who's really good at playing the sort of dual role in the 4-2-5. So they have their base. It's just what do they do after that? And I think James's answer on this occasion was, yeah, generally speaking, it's going to be the thing. But right now we kind of know what we have.
Well, and also, Andy, there are several things that play into this going to the 4-2-5. One is talent, as you mentioned. If we had three stud linebackers, that's what we would play. Now, the other part to it is the nature of the college football game.
Sure.
Is, you know, it's not like it was years ago, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, run, run, run. But, you know, if you're going to see a team like an Iowa, say, or, you know, old time Wisconsin, that's going to try and run the ball down your throat, we might see more official linebackers. The other thing I think to remember is, again, towards this idea that the position itself is changing, is if you look at the two guys, Tony Rojas and Dom DeLuca. Dom DeLuca started as a safety, Andy.
Correct.
Okay. Tony Rojas, he came to Penn State weighing about .198. Okay. He was not
off the ball linebacker. He's an all. He came to Penn State as an off the ball linebacker.
Or, you know, even a safety. He had safety size, not linebacker size.
Correct.
If you all recall, he put that weight on very quickly once he got to Penn State. But, in you know, if you watch him on his interception return, you realize we saw that running back background also. Okay, this isn't a guy who went to linebacker from defensive lineman, something to that effect. So these linebackers are becoming more athletic, and they're able to do both run support, Andy, and fall back into coverage. Well, guess what safeties do, Andy? They provide help in pass coverage, and they do run support. So the line between linebacker and safety, it's gone gray anyway.
Yeah, I think it has a little it continues to evolve more because the safeties are now being in the modern game are being asked to be part of run support a little bit more, and the linebackers are asked to be more more coverage centered than you would imagine. I mean, think back to Denai Dennis Sutton's interception. They dropped the DN in coverage. That's common in the NFL from time to time. You're starting to see it more in college football. You saw Abdul Carter drop him back in college. So it's a lot more mix and match at all three phases.
And this goes back to that whole emphasis on athletic, fast defenders, Andy, who can do multiple things. And it's almost positionless football, okay? And that's okay. So when you're calling it a 4-2-5, you know what? These that fifth guy often will just play like a linebacker. That is it for quarter number one, Andy. We got lots more from James Franklin's press conference. Stay tuned. Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? GoPSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out GoPSURV.com or call 800-519-8467.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. This is quarter number two of our show. We are reviewing James Franklin's press conference from earlier this week, Andy. And kind of per usual, we got through one question, didn't we?
One topic and one topic only.
that's all right, Andy. It was a fun topic. Let's move on, see if we can be a little more efficient. Next question was, James Franklin, how are you going to approach the workload for your established veterans like Drew Aller, Singleton, Catron Allen, Denai Dennis Sutton, guys who know what they could do, right? Well, Andy, I think that one was one of those obvious questions. Of course, he's going to do some load balancing here. He's not going to push them as much, right?
Ship sailed. The blueprint's already – they're going to be underwear football guys. That's what I call it. There's not going to be hardly any, if any, contact. They're going to be working on devil-in-the-details stuff as veterans, and their workload – will be significantly lighter during this OTA. It'll be more of everything little and nothing major, right? Like, they'll do a lot of walkthroughs. They'll do a lot of, you know, shadow drilling. They won't be involved in a lot of the, some thud drills. You won't see many thud drills. What will Drew Aller be working on? Little stuff. And mostly what Drew Aller will be working on is synergy with guys that catch the ball, tight ends and receivers, right? But the devil in the details. They have to figure out who QB2 is. That's where your workload's going to be, right? Does Drew Aller need some work? Obviously, yeah. But he can't be hogging all the workload when you have to figure out, you know, in spades and know who your QB2 is. That's automatically going to lighten Drew's workload. And I think for veteran, Nick Dawkins, right? Deny Dennis Sutton. Even guys like, you know, Rojas is coming off an injury, right? Like, some of these guys are injured. Offensive lineman, Donka, not going to see him. Don't do it. So it's going to be very light and very minimal for them. It'll be a lot of underwear football and a lot of mental type stuff football because they know what they have. It's pretty simple for James. It's very clear.
Andy, why do you keep doing it? You keep jumping ahead to the next questions. I'll get there, okay? Anyway, a couple things. And he did mention that, hey, we get more reps for the younger guys if we ease up the load on the veterans. Obviously, to borrow the word from James himself, obviously. And you also have to take into consideration these guys ran deep into the playoffs, okay? So they played a lot of games. Well, it was 16 games last year. They were well into January, mid to late January with the season. Those guys, their bodies need a break, Andy, okay? They really do. And spring should be about getting those younger players more reps. So that one's the obvious. You brought up Drew Aller and what he would work on. And there was a question that came up. Okay, what are Drew Aller's next steps in his development? And Andy, what was James's answer?
Everything. Everything's on the board. His footwork needs to become more consistent at the next level, right? I found the mobility. James listed mobility. I found that interesting because I thought his mobility was actually one of his core strengths.
Well, let me stop you there, Andy. I think it wasn't even though it was the first thing he said, I don't think it was so much, oh, he's got to get better at this. I think that was just him giving the list and trying to include everything. You know, oh, he's got to be more mobile. He's got to be this. I think it was more him trying to say he needs to improve at everything rather than specifically pointing at mobility, because it was pretty obvious from year one as a starter to year two, he already did improve his mobility quite a bit.
So here's a tea leaf. The interesting thing was he said he had had conversations that he was not going to reveal with Danny O'Brien, the quarterback's coach, in reference and talking about Drew, and that sort of led him down the everything path, right? So, and what he was basically saying was, there's a talent level that Drew has that hasn't been fully realized. I think that's what he was saying. And that is actually true, right? Like, there's more in the tank for this kid because his talent is at that level. It demands more development. He needs to get better at everything because he hasn't fully realized his talent. That's true, right? Like, his first year starter, learning. Last year, some steps forward, more to be had. It's about development and fully realizing his talent. And by James listing everything, it means we know there's more in the tank and he's not there yet. And we want to get it out of him. That's That's my two cents. I think that was him dropping the, if he gets there, it could be something game-changingly different. And I don't disagree in any way, shape, or form, or in the least. The talent level that Drew Aller has is very, very, very high.
It is, Andy. But I hate that working on everything kind of answer. Okay. Do you know who Juan Soto is?
The name rings a bell, but I don't know it in to answer your question.
One of the best hitters in Major League Baseball.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
He's the one who got the monster almost $800 million contract over the winter. Okay.
Yep.
And he was asked what he's going to work on. Well, he happens to be, like I said, maybe the best hitter in all of baseball. He's a terrible defensive player. Okay. Terrible. He was asked what he needs to improve on. Well, all parts of my game. No, not all parts of your game. You're a lousy outfielder. You got to get better at that. That's what you need to improve on. So when I get this generic, got to get better at everything, Andy, it's a non-answer answer, okay? And maybe he doesn't want to say, hey, you know, Drew, misses open receivers, you know, when we have a big game, he needs to put less pressure on himself. Maybe he doesn't want to go down those paths. But saying everything just is, that's a non-answer answer, Andy. All right, let's
agree
move on.
To disagree, and for our new listeners, if you get through a month without Jimmy giving a baseball reference when it comes to talking football, it would indeed be a rare month.
Andy, it's opening weekend of Major League Baseball. And by the way, you're incorrect saying a month. I bring up baseball pretty much every week. So it's unusual for a week to go by. Next up, I like that there were some questions about the transfer wide receivers. The initial question he was asked about what does he think so far? And Andy, this answer from James Franklin, I did appreciate. You could go ahead with it.
Yeah. There's no footballs involved was basically what he said. So I don't know enough. I kind of think there's a little bit of kinship between him and I when it comes to wide receivers. Yeah, I don't want to talk about the wide receivers. Right? Like, I really don't right now. So the football one was very smooth. Keen. But when talking about the passing game and pass catchers and Penn State, I think he gave his most revealing answer to me through the course of this in his entire press conference. And to me, what it was he sort of put the wide receivers in the box they need to be in with where they've been at for this offense the last two seasons, and saying that the wideouts have to understand that they're not necessarily in competition with each other, but they're in competition with the other running backs and the tight ends for targets and touches. In other words, look, we can run this offense without sort of wide receivers effectively with the talent that we have. And I'm still convinced that you're healthy and whole, that you are going to see some three tight end set this year. He's basically saying, I don't care if you play wide receiver, tight end, or third running back. If you're the best pass-catching option for us, we're going to get you on the field. In other words, we're not going to just put wideouts out there because you have to have wideouts in your formation. I think that was very revealing to me that he said, they have to understand they are in competition not with each other, but they're in competition with everybody else on the offense at the skill position to claim any targets or catches that they get.
And yeah, I think that was one of my favorite answers, because it goes back to even what he was talking about with the 4-2-5. Get the best 11 guys on the field. Offensively, it's who are your weapons? Obviously, Catron Allen and Nick Singleton are weapons that you want to use. Now, I know it keeps them both fresh, you know, alternating them. But I never have a problem when I see them both on the field, because that's an extra weapon out there. You made the point about the tight ends. I think one other thing with this, Andy, is There's hints of, remember when every year he would talk about the offensive line turning the corner? Yep. And finally he reached a point where he said, you know, I say it every year. I'm going to stop saying it until it actually happens on the field.
Happened.
It happened, yes.
Happened.
I also get that impression that he's now feeling the same thing about wide receivers. Till we see it on the field, I'm not going to put myself out there.
Not gonna insert foot in mouth in any way, shape, or form, or give myself an opportunity to say anything that could be interpreted other than, yeah, we're not very good at this position, and I have no idea. And he's not wrong.
No, he's not. Taking the wait-and-see attitude there is the right way to approach it. He got another question on the transfer wide receivers. What did you like about them in bringing them in? He brought in, Ross came from Troy, a small school, but he specifically, Ross, played very well at Iowa, a very good Big Ten defense. So he said that was impressive, but he still, came up short of saying we've turned the corner at that position, and he's not going to do it. All right, that's it. Quarter two coming up. Ask Andy. Stick around for that.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means this is when you take over the show. We take your questions for Andy. And if you want to send in your question next week, go to our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. Let's start with our buddy Jimmy in Forest City. He always sneaks in multiple questions, Andy, so we'll go with him.
All right.
He says, "Dear Andy and Jim, which of the following three events should be eliminated? College football conference championship games, the NFL combine, or the blue-white game?" And just to add into that, he adds a separate question, but Coach Andy and Coach Jim, you now have decision-making authority for the format of the spring game. What say you for the format of the spring game this year?
Ooh, I'll take the first question first, not the second question first. I don't want the college football playoff championships eliminated because I like it. It makes the regular season more relevant, right?
It's conference championship.
The conference championships. They make your season relevant because you get to play a banner game, right? Like it's a hanging banner game, and they're generally pretty good football games. I hate to say this because I know the tradition around it at Penn State, and it's admirable. I admire Penn State's blue-white. But if you're giving me those three, Jimmy, and Forest City, I'm going to eliminate the blue-white game.
Okay.
I think the NFL Combine serves a purpose for the players that are on NFL boards that are 50 to 150, not 0 to 50, not 1 to 50. So, I still think the NFL Combine serves those players, and that's a greater good, bigger. I don't think the blue-white serves a greater good, bigger. The spring game format for me would be the best combination of twos versus the fours and the best combination of your threes versus your fours, and you play each one of those plays a full quarter of football. Okay, your fours are going to be doubling up. Well, they're your fours. They need more work. They need to be on the field. Let your twos play your fours, and then let your threes play your fours. And you play one quarter of each, offense and defense, and you play football.
Andy, I'm going to go completely different way than you.
That was where I was.
I want to get rid of the conference championship games. I'm not sure what purpose they serve at this point. At least in the Big Ten Southeast Conference, those two teams are making it to the playoffs. That's what they worry about most. I'm waiting for the day when they say, you know what, I don't even care if I win the conference championship game or not. I'm going to sit some of my guys out. I don't want to risk an injury.
Shame on you, Jimmy. Did you watch the big – you did. The players are Andy, fired Penn, up about winning a championship, and they play like it. That Oregon-Penn State game was freaking awesome.
It was. It was a great game. And, Andy, whenever you have, you know, the two best teams in the Southeast Conference, the two best teams in the Big Ten playing each other, I'm all for it. But I think they're running into issues with the length of the playoffs. Agreed. I think they're going to need to eliminate a week. That's a way to do it. And in some ways, you're punishing those two top teams by having to play the extra game. So I think if I have to get rid of, you know, the combine, it's totally unrelated. So and as you pointed out, it's to the advantage of people. And the blue-white game, hey, you know, this is still supposed to be about the fans. If the fans didn't exist. So I look at the spring game as a gift for the fans. Here's my suggestion. I didn't mind what you suggested, Andy, but this is my preference. We give hell to the teams for playing, you know, those cupcakes in September. Ridiculous games. Ridiculous. You know, there's a point spread of 50 points going into them. How about this? Those teams from Delaware or Villanova or wherever, how about they come into Happy Valley to play the game? And Penn State, you know what? Don't play the ones and twos. Play your threes and fours. You could charge something for this game, a nominal fee, still make it affordable for people to get in the door. But you get to see Penn State guys play against someone in a different color uniform. And there's no need to put Drew Aller out there. And Drew Aller's not going to gain very much from it. Ethan Grunkmeyer, though.
You're going to have to pay the other school, Jimmy.
Of course. That's why I said you charge a nominal fee.
Okay.
But I think for those other schools, plus you put it on TV, all right? So you get TV revenue. And for those other schools, those kids, they get an opportunity to play in Beaver Stadium. Okay? So... Or I should say West Shore home field at Beaver Stadium.
There you go. Right, not an abjectly horrible idea. I'll give you that, Jimmy. All right. That's one question. Let's move on.
Okay. We got through one. How about Joe from Jeanette, who says, if Bill O'Brien stayed at Penn State, would Christian Hackenberg have developed into a much better quarterback and even become a franchise quarterback in the NFL?
No, no, and no. You can't fix what ailed Christian. It just, once it comes into you, you can learn to manage it a little bit. And I don't think Christian did a bad job of managing it. I call it quarterback PTSD. The pressure that, you know, the hits that he took and the constant pressure on him to be the performer. And I still think it was underrated what he did at Penn State as a quarterback. I don't know when it will happen, but maybe at some point it becomes fully appreciated. But he got face mask down, head down, not head up. You can't fix that. You can only manage it. It's like PTSD itself. Once you have it, you can't be cured of it. You can just learn to help yourself manage it a little bit better. And as a quarterback, that sort of, you know, what ailed him was he couldn't manage it so that his talent at the NFL level would ever be realized because it burned that deep into him. So even if Bill stays, Joe, good question, though. My answer would be no, no, and no.
Well, and I don't know if this is the case with Joe, from Jeanette, who asked the question. But I think a lot of people ask a similar question, and what they really mean is, isn't James Franklin a terrible coach and he ruined Christian Hackenberg? There are a lot of people, that's what they mean by that question.
Yeah. So, my answer to that would be the same. No, no, and no.
Okay, let's move to Danny from Indiana, PA, who says, how could a team with so much talent and depth everywhere struggle so much at wide receiver?
Okay, Danny, you win the Rolaid $60,000 question. So, yeah, it deserves an answer, though. It is – so, for me, it's – you could say, well, it's about, you know, could be about this, it could be about that. For me, I'm going to give you one answer because you deserve it for asking such a good question, Danny. Development, right? Even if it's a – even if you're starting with less – can you bring a little bit more out of it? The development, even whether the receivers are, you know, 5- and 4-star and have all this talent or not, the development overall as a group at the position, I'd say for the last at least 3 years has been well below standard. So it's a little bit about recruiting in my mind and the players are getting, and maybe they're not quote unquote picking the right guys, but the development is so clear and obvious of a, you know, sort of a boat anchor to them at the position. It's just not happening. They're not developing. They're not getting open. They're not being part of the solution. That's all development stuff. So for me, Danny, at the core of it, it goes back to talent development, whatever that talent could be, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, either way, it's about development. And there's little or no quote unquote clear, measurable, seeable, viewable, and understandable talent development taking place at that position right now.
Andy, I do think, obviously, it's a very legitimate question.
It is very legit.
I'm going to answer it in a little different way, which is I'm going to use the word inertia, okay? When you get things going the right way, they keep going that way. The wrong way, it stays that way. Wide receiver at Ohio State, it's got the inertia. It's rolling, Andy. It's rolling, okay? If you're a top wide receiver in the country, you want to go to Ohio State. They've got the same thing at quarterback, you know. Penn State did a great job in bringing in Drew Aller. Ohio State brings in 4 or 5 Drew Allers, okay? And then they do a pick and choose the best. To Penn State's credit, a lot of positions, running back, tight end, linebacker, defensive end, cornerback, safeties, you're seeing the positive inertia. They're sending guys to the NFL. As you put it, they're doing development. The story, though, to tell, Andy, is the offensive line. We made reference to this a few years ago. The offensive line was where the wide receiver room is today.
Where the wide receiver room's been for 3 years, Jimmy.
Okay. Exactly. Legit response, Andy. But they were able to turn it around, that offensive line, when they brought in the right guy, Troutwine. He both recruited and developed, and here we are. We now talk about the depth at offensive line, and it might be the best position group on the team.
It might be. The side part of it is, I understand why James, you know, fired the coach 3 seasons ago. I understand. But at least he was developing and producing like a one-year unicorn. KJ Hamler developed, right? Parker Washington. That's development, right? Like, okay, yeah, Chris Godwin. That's a little bit different sort of animal to work with. That guy's so talented. But at least at Penn State, you were starting, there was development, and you were starting to understand and realize his talent. So that has stopped. There's not even a unicorn anymore. So, yeah, it could be inertia, but it's also about, is there even a little bit? And I'm not seeing even a little bit, Jimmy. So, or even a unicorn. So that's why you make a valid point. But, dude, 3 years and now you're way behind. They're way behind.
All right, Andy, that is it for quarter number three. Lots more to go. Stick with us.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing. Built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. This is quarter number four. My real quick response, Andy, to your last comments about the wide receiver room. I don't know if you saw this. Trey Wallace came out and talked about transferring to Ole Miss and why he left Penn State.
Right.
To his credit, he didn't throw Penn State under the bus, but he did mention he wanted to see what it was like to play at a program that emphasized the passing game. Kind of the feeling, and I got to say, especially going into next season, when you've got those two running backs back, you know, a stellar offensive line, I think Penn State's going to be a run-first team. So that is all part of the equation here also. Not just for someone transferring, but also a recruit coming in. All right, Andy, let's get to Salty Jim a little bit.
Oh, I've been waiting.
This is some of the other questions that came in. Let's get right to it. He was asked about the blue-white game, and James Franklin pointed out this year, they are not going to put the game on TV, Andy. He also said, well, they might make the game shorter. I didn't think that was possible, Andy. They've been shortening up the game every year. Mm-hmm. And they would maybe go, you know, do tackling. They would do some thud, which is you don't actually tackle on the field. So, you know, my question is, you talk about these precious 15 practices you get in the spring, how precious they are, Andy. They're like gold, Andy. They're gold. Yet, here you have an opportunity to get your players some experience on the field at Beaver Stadium, even if it's your threes and fours, and you're saying, nah, I don't really want to. And it's all part, I think, Andy, of this paranoia. And I blame Matt Rhule at Nebraska for really starting this with, oh, you know, other teams are going to try and poach our players, so we're not going to have a spring game. I got some advice for you, Matt Rhule. Win some games before other teams are going to try and poach your players.
So, yeah, the TV thing is one that stumps me, right? Like, what? It's not. There's not very much to watch to begin with, but, you know, it's football. So, and fans are football stars. James talked about how it's important to stay college, right? Like the blue-white game has a value to the fan base in the state college area. That is 100% accurate. But then they also always talk about how Penn State has this nationwide fan base. Well, they can't get much in the other 14 practices, and they shouldn't. But the 15th one, make it a show. Put on a show, right? Like, make it fun. Do something that makes it like an entertainment package more than a football package. That's still going to satisfy those that want to be there. And they, you know, and Penn State's one of the bigger, better ones in the country. When it comes to their spring game, it's definitely up there, but not giving the rest of you're punishing the rest of your fan base out of your own sort of little circle paranoia. Somebody's going to see one of our players and come in and take them in the transfer portal. I got news for you. If they want them, they're going to come try and take them anyway. And if they want to go, they're going to go. So this one doesn't carry any water. That doesn't carry any water with me because it doesn't. 1 + 1 = 3, not 2. So I struggle with that as a legitimate reason. And I've never understood if you're going to reduce it. And let's be honest, it's OTAs now. It's underwear football. It's not a lot of contact and hitting. It's the modern game. That's what you have to work with. Take advantage of it and make it a show.
Andy, and if your concern is someone's going to be impressive in the spring game, which is going to catch the eye of another school, well, look out. Whoever the fifth string walk-on running back is.
Might be that guy.
That's the guy. Because year after year, I mean, it's a running joke that that's who is typically the star of the game, okay? And it's paranoia. It's... No. And it's not just James Franklin. It's all these coaches across the country. They're all doing it. All right. Andy, while we're staying with Salty Jim, let me get to another question that just rubbed me the wrong way. James Franklin was asked about the 105 guy roster limit. Just to explain real quickly what's going to change. The 85 scholarship limit's going to go away. And so is, I can't even remember what the exact number was for the number of guys on the roster, like 115, 120, whatever it was.
Yeah.
What it's going to change is there's going to be a 105-man roster limit. And it's also each one of them can be on scholarship. Okay. Now, individual schools could decide how many scholarships they're going to give out. You know, might it be an economic issue that they don't want to give out 105 scholarships? Conceivably, yes. But 105 roster limit, and James Franklin is telling us that's not enough players, okay? Now, he preemptively struck with, gee, the NFL has 53 guys on their roster and manages. And by pointing out, yes, there's a taxi squad and practice squad and all of those things. But still, do you know how many 105 players, Andy? You could go 4 deep on offense, 4 deep on defense, and still have 17 more players. Andy, if you can't manage with a 105-man roster, come on.
So I am not at its core in disagreement with you. This is not a mountain you want to spend your wine and cheese on. You know what I mean? If you're gonna have a little wine with your cheese, I'm not sure this is a good mountain. His point about I think they arrived at the 103 number or the 105 number for 53 NFL, double it, 106. We're gonna make it 105. And that should be a reasonable number. It kind of is. There is one hamstring, and James didn't do a great job of articulating it. He double counted when he used his numbers because, okay, so an NFL team can go into camp with 90-something, right? They can go into OTA with this numbers. Then they have their draft class. Then they have to get down to this number. They have to be to this number by this date. Then they have a taxi squad. Then they have their practice guy, injured reserve. A college roster, if you lose, say, 15 guys to injury, right, for example, over the course of, you know, a camp and then through the first month of the season and into week 6, say you've lost 15 guys, you can't replace them at the NFL level. You can replenish it so your number stays constant. So though that's a lot of transition that the college game will not have access to. I do think if you say, I'm just going with 15, if you go from 105 to 90 and not being able to replace them, that could be a mildly sticky situation, but it's not holistically troublesome. I still at your core agree with you, but the college game does not have the ability to, okay, you can 105. I think it should be 105 active, and give them the ability to have a roster of 120 and make the scholarship limit. If you're going to go unlimited and go to 105, say, okay, it's 105 scholarship, 115 roster. And then you have 10 guys that can't be rostered week to week. 105 is your roster number. That's more realistic in my view.
Andy, you know, I think.
Gotcha.
No, you didn't, because I could only roster 105 guys for a game. Andy, I'm never going to get to 105 guys.
I know, Jimmy.
I'm going to use the same number I did earlier, 88. 88 players gives you four deep at each position.
Without special teams.
Yeah, okay?
I know.
Add your kicker, your punter, your long snapper. You're still in the 90s. I think this is more maybe with your walk-ons you had this, but if you reach that point anyway, you're in trouble. You know, at quarterback, say, do you need to roster an extra guy,
correct,
you know, than you did before?
Correct.
Or scholarship an extra guy? And the answer might be yes, because that's right, where you're vulnerable, okay? Because you can't really swap a guy in from another position. That's just management of it. This, to me, is another one of these. He's just not simply going to answer what I think is the true answer, which is, yeah, we're fine with 105. It's no problem. No, it's got to turn into, oh, look how tough I have it. And that, it's just like the, oh, woe is me. I can't, you know, have a spring game on TV because they're going to start poaching my talent. Please, Andy, please. No, I'm sorry. I am just not buying it. All right, let me get to another question that came up before we finish up. I guess it's April 7th is the date where the judge is supposed to make an announcement on the House agreement, yep, which is when you would allow players to be paid directly by the university. There's a calculation, I think it's based on television revenue, where you could relay to your student athletes across the board a total of about $20 million. He was asked about the strategy for this, how much would go to football, how would they do it? And I get it that he was very hesitant to give an answer on this.
Yeah, and as he should, right? That's, to me, I had a great deal of respect for the way he sort of danced around this, because this isn't, these aren't decisions at his pay grade per se, right? Like, I mean, he's paid a ton of money, but this goes, he needs to let it trickle down and then add his 2 cents. In other words, the directive needs to come from above and he needs to react to it.
Well, but to think he has no influence on it, Andy.
Oh, that's not the case at all.
No, it's not.
No.
Okay. Because he will point out if, you know, Ohio State is giving 18 out of the 20 million to the football team.
Penn State better be giving 18 out of football.
At least according to James Franklin, yes, you better believe that will be the case. And I can't blame him for supporting his program. But that is what the case is going to be. All right, Andy, that is it for our show. As always, it goes way, way too fast. Thank you, Andy, and thank all of you for listening. You know what? Make sure you join us again next week when we do this.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.